Sometimes patience is a virtue absent in the holiest of saints. On the last day of the papal visit to the United Kingdom in 2010, there was a little known incident on his way back to Heathrow. He was delayed due to some meetings, and it looked like he was going to miss his flight. The limousine arrived and the driver was overwhelmed that he was driving the Pope, and he was very nervous and he drove very slowly. The Pope asked him to speed up. The driver went slower because he wanted to keep the Pope in his limousine for as long as possible. The Pope said, "Okay, that's it, I'm driving." And they swapped places and the Pope sped off, and he was clocked by speed cameras doing 85 miles an hour down the M4. Policemen stopped him and were shocked when he discovered the famous personality behind the wheel. He frantically phoned his police chief and said, "Chief, I've stopped a very important figure for speeding. I don't know what to do." "What do you mean? Give him a speeding ticket." "Sir, in all honesty, I can't." "Why can't you? The law is the law. Who is it anyway that you've stopped? Is it the Mayor of London?" "No, sir." "Is it the Queen?" "No, sir." "Is it the Prime Minister?" "No, sir." "Well then, who is it?" "I don't know, sir. All I know is the Pope is driving him." When you think of patience, what comes to mind? Maybe you've been there at 5 a.m, Heathrow. Or maybe this more reflects patience in your mind. Or this one I like in particular. In our passage today, James says, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming." Be patient until the Lord's coming. The assumption being that we are not going to find it easy to be patient, that we will struggle with patience and we will struggle with one another because of our failure to be patient. That's why I've called this morning's study "The Perfecting Power of Patience." There are two different words used in this passage of patience, and in verses 7 and 8 and verse 10 the word is long-suffering, and it refers to people with whom you need patience. And I'm sure you've got at least one in your family. And then in verse 11, the word means to endure, to remain under. And that suggests stressful situations or conditions. But as a whole, patience means to stay put and to stand firm when you're tempted to run. When we want to run away, we need patience. Let's look first of all at the motivation that James gives us for patience. James gives us three reasons to be patient. And the first is because the Lord is coming, he says. Three times James reminds us that the Lord is coming. It's the one future event that is certain. It is as certain as the fact that we're going to die. The question is, which will come first? It should therefore be the greatest motivation, because when Jesus returns, there will be an end to stress. There will be an end to tension. There will be an end to suffering, to evil, to sin, and to death. So be patient because the Lord is coming. Be patient because the Lord is coming. But there's a second reason. Be patient because the Lord will judge, James says. "Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged." The judge is standing at the door. You see, when we are frustrated, when we are stressed and in need of patience, the temptation is to take it out on other people, to blame them. And James says, be patient because Jesus is coming to judge. And if the believers he was writing to were suffering from unjust persecution, James reassures them that it will end soon. It means that we can live with stress, with tension, with injustice, knowing that God will judge eventually. Jesus is coming, and Jesus will be the judge. And the third motivation is because the Lord is merciful. The Lord, James says, is full of compassion and mercy, full of, overflowing with compassion and mercy. It means that God understands what we're going through. He is with us. He will not treat us as we deserve. In his compassionate grace, he gives us what we don't deserve. In his mercy, he doesn't give us what we do deserve. This should be our motivation for patience, because the Lord is coming, because the Lord will judge, and because the Lord is merciful. Well, if that's our motivation, how can we learn to be more patient as we wait for the Lord to return? And James just gives us three examples. The first, the farmer who sows. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, he says, verse 7. Patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Do not grumble against one another. You know, I dearly love the countryside. I was raised in the countryside, but I can never be a farmer because I'm not patient enough. Apart from weeds and maybe my waistline, nothing grows overnight. You know, we might complain about inconveniences the weather brings this week, but for farmers, the weather is a matter of survival. Too much rain and the crop will rot. Too late a frost will kill the crop. Too much sun and it will burn the crop. And rain during the harvest will ruin the crop. How long suffering the farmer has to be with the weather. In the Middle East, the farmers would plow and sow in what we would regard as the autumn. The early rain would come before Christmas, the latter rain in February and March, and bring maturity to the harvest. But the farmer would wait many weeks for his seed to produce fruit. Why does he wait so long? Because the crop is worth it. It's valuable. And that's the lesson we must learn. The harvest of the Lord's return is worth waiting for. Galatians 6 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up." James pictures us as spiritual farmers looking for a spiritual harvest. Be patient and stand firm, he says. You know, in a way, our hearts are like soil, and God's word is the seed. And there are seasons in our life, just as there are seasons in the year. You know, when it seems like life is tough, remember that God is producing a harvest. You've probably memorized Galatians 5, 22, 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The problem is that the only way that we learn to be loving, kind, patient, is when we experience the opposite. Especially from other people. Now, this isn't about passive resignation. Farmers rarely have time to put their feet up. James didn't tell these believers to put on white robes, climb a hill, and wait for Jesus to return. Jesus said, "It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns, working." You know, nor do farmers usually have time to have fights with their neighbors. They're too busy. Too busy cooperating, sharing equipment. They help one another out. And that's what James must have had in mind when he said, "Don't grumble against one another, or you'll be judged." You see, when we're impatient with God, we take it out on other people. So instead of growing impatient, we must yield to the Lord and permit his fruit to mature. How do we learn patience? From the farmer who sows. Secondly, from the prophets who spoke. As an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. You know, most of the prophets had to endure suffering and persecution, and many of them were executed. Why? Because people didn't like their message. You know, when you don't like the message, shoot the messenger. But why did God allow them to suffer? To authenticate the message. The book of Hebrews writes about them. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what was promised, since God had prepared something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. You see, perseverance in times of suffering is a testimony to others. We want to learn patience, then look at the farmer who sows, look at the prophets who spoke, and then look at the patriarch who suffered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. You know, it's hard to find a greater example of suffering in the Bible than Job. In the very first few sentences, he lost his children. His wife was against him. She said, "Curse God and die." Job's friends accused him of being a sinner and a hypocrite. They said that there must be a terrible sin in your life, or God would not have permitted this suffering. And it seemed as if God was against him. When Job cried out for answers, he got silence. Yet Job endured. Even Satan predicted Job would get impatient and he would abandon his faith. But he would not deny the Lord. At the beginning of his trials, he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." That's what he said when he heard that all his family had been killed. The Lord gave, the Lord taken away, may the name of the Lord be praised. And during his suffering, long after his friends and his family had given up on him, he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. Even though he kills me, I will hope in him." You know, Job persisted. In spite of all of the evidence, he debated with God, even though God was silent. And the book of Hebrews commends him for his endurance. You see, these examples, the farmer, the prophets, Job, are there for our encouragement. Paul writes to the Romans, "Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So the better we know the Bible, the more that we read about the examples of the heroes of the faith, the more the Lord can encourage us in those difficult experiences of life. The important thing is that, like the farmer, we keep working. Like the prophets, we keep witnessing. And like Job, we remain true to our calling, no matter what our experiences, however trying our circumstances. The motivation for patience: the Lord is coming. The examples of perseverance. And James concludes with the reward. The reward for patience, verse 11. "As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. The problem is, we tend to equate blessing with material wealth, with good health, with long life, with a large family, or maybe not, with many friends, with fame, with success, with popularity. And most of all, we expect it now. Not so, says Jesus. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is why we need patient endurance. Because however beautiful God's creation is, however tasty our food, however refreshing our drink, however glorious the gift of the Holy Spirit, however uplifting our worship, however wonderful our fellowship together, they are but a foretaste of what is to come. And that's why Paul says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The perfecting power of patience. I invite you to say with me these words from Romans chapter 8 as a prayer, as a statement of faith, as an encouragement to one another. Let's say them together. "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." As we learn to wait for it patiently, let's pray. Lord, may you give for every storm a rainbow, for every tear a smile, for every care a promise, and a blessing in each trial. For every problem life sends, give us a faithful friend to share. For every sigh, a sweet song, and an answer for our prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.